hardware for the perfect look. See them all at our Portadown and Lisburn showrooms. How about a conservatory or home extension? We'll help create that extra space you need, from a bright and airy conservatory to a cosy sunroom or garden room. Visit us at turkingtonwindows.com. Turkington's, quality to a T.
Hi, I'm Eddie Rowley. In this week's Sunderworld, don't miss your free 24-page glossy Country Icons magazine. It's packed with exclusive pictures and big interviews with stars including Daniel O'Donnell, Nathan Carter, Derek Ryan, Fiona Hagen, Mike Denver and many more. Country Icons magazine, this week only in the Sunday World, the People's Paper.
U105 Frank Mitchell phone-in with Right Sofa Land. Sofa-tastic, sofa-spectacular now on Knock, Belfast and Calinchy.
So how is the form with you this morning? 0289 033 105. I want to speak to Nigel, who has a point that he wants to make with regards to a topic that we touched on at the very beginning on really the menu of the programme, but we're going to be speaking about in more detail shortly. The thousands of children across Northern Ireland who are being suspended from schools. Why are so many being suspended? Nigel, you have a point to make on this?
Good morning, Frank. What it is, Frank, is I heard the numbers, 4,000 pupils being suspended last year. I was wondering how many of them children would have additional needs, i.e. autism, Asperger's, stuff like that there. What it is, I have an age, well, my son was 8 years of age at the time, and he was suspended twice from primary school within the space of a couple of weeks. Now, he was suspended for trivial matters. There was nothing serious. I could have been dealt with in the school, but the school deemed it fit to suspend him and send him home. Now, after the suspension, when he got back from school, if he was in a sort of, you know, he's a smart boy. He knew if he was to go in and mess about, they sent him home. Now, they sent him home with his school work, so we basically, in turn, had to tutor him at home, and this went on for months upon months upon months, simply because they don't have the facilities to deal with children with additional needs.
Was he diagnosed with an additional need?
He wasn't. He's been diagnosed now for the last 4 years. With autism.
But with the school, was the school at that time aware that he had autism?
Oh, yes, they were aware from day one of what was going on. And we've been trying to get classroom assistance for the last, like, 4 years, ever since the diagnosis. We've been fighting, we've been ringing numerous different agencies to try and get them to come out and assess him for a classroom assistant. Now he has one. He's thriving at school. There's been nothing this from he started school this year. There's been no incidents whatsoever. The teacher thinks he's brilliant. And it's just basically to do because he has that assistant now. Now, he's working very independently on his own, so the assistant would sort of hover, but she's there if he needs it. You know, I just think there's not enough being done in primary schools or secondary schools to deal with children with additional needs.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who work in the education system would agree with you on that they don't hire enough specialist staff to look after certain pupils. Now, they do, of course, in some circumstances, but there will be some children who are slipping through the net. But if the one-to-one tutor or guardian or specialist teacher isn't there with a child who's facing the challenges that your child's facing, how would the school cope other than to ask him to leave the classroom? You're saying it was trivial what he was doing, but he most likely was causing total disruption to the other kids.
Well, not total disruption as such. He was just messing around in the classroom, and the teacher thought, you know, he's pushing tables and stuff about, and the teacher thought that's where they'd be doing the send him home, because he has what they would class as a label now. With being autistic, it's their excuse. Now, he's not the only child in this school to be suspended or sent home with additional needs. So it's not just one child. It seems to be happening a lot, Frank.
Yeah. What did you, like, you used a term there? They labelled him as what? I didn't hear the word you used.
With autism, because he has a label.
Oh, because he has autism, you felt they were sending him home.
Yes.
You see, that tends not to ring true in relation to how the education system would treat a child who's already been diagnosed with autism.
Definitely. But to me, there's 26 in his class. It's simply because the class can't cope. You know, the teacher can't cope with a child with additional needs, in my opinion. So they thought, send him home, send the school to work home with him. The parents can deliver him at home. Now, every child is entitled to an education, Frank. You know, regardless of, you know, he is very high functioning. He's a very smart, he's a very intelligent child. We're now tutoring him for his ATEs next year. So, you know, he has settled down a lot this year. But I think, you know, there's a lot of other parents out there as well, Frank, who will be having to fight the system. to get these classroom assistants in place.
Yes, I understand the point you're making that you have a very strong argument for a classroom assistant, and when you did get one, your child then fell into place and is thoroughly enjoying the school experience. But in the absence of the classroom assistant, it would have been unfair on the other 24 children in the class to have your child misbehaving so much.
Oh, I understand that, but again, it boils down to the fact that every child is entitled in education, regardless. He isn't violent. There's nothing like that there. It's just he likes to he'd make a few funny noises and stuff. Like we text, but that's it. It's the teacher. It boils down to the teacher as well. The teacher hasn't had experience in dealing with children with additional needs. I think that should be addressed as well. Where all teachers must, deal with dealing with children with additional needs or have some sort of experience with it.
I'm with you, as in you quite rightly applied for an additional teacher, a special needs teacher, or a classroom assistant. And you got that, and now the child is flourishing. But my sympathy would be also with a teacher who's trying to teach 24 children who doesn't have time to have the specialist knowledge to look after that one child all the time in the classroom. I think that's driving teachers to an early grave.
Oh, I'm driving them to despair. I feel sorry for the teachers sometimes, but, I have a 3-year-old daughter now, and she has just been diagnosed with autism as well. And she is a nursery, so we've now restarted the fight to get her a classroom assistant. We will have to start this early, because years passed, still nothing's in place.
Yeah.
And then you really have to fight for it. And so I just feel sorry for every other parent out there who's going through the same thing, that maybe their child has additional needs, because the school can't cope, just send them home, they wash their hands and send them home.
Yeah, it's a very good point, and you're lobbying to get your other child a teacher, an additional teacher, as early as possible. And that's parental responsibility to go and make your voice heard. Nigel, thank you indeed. Where does your sympathy lie? Do let us know. If we're sort of blessed with not having a child that has an additional challenge, then we only see our own kid in the classroom who's been held back by the person who's pushing the desks about or making noises or shouting abuse at the teacher or doing whatever some children do. And in the past, they were always seen as just wastrels, weren't they? When you and I were at school, I'm talking to other people who'd be 52, 53 years of age, when you were at school, that person was a wastrel. Oh, for goodness sake, a pain in the backside, get him out of the classroom, he's holding everyone else back. But he or she may have had undiagnosed additional needs. And there seem to be so many children who are facing these challenges, and the education system doesn't seem to have the full ability to cope because of budgets, because of demands on teachers who are teaching 25, 26 children, some of them who don't even have English as a first language. It is an incredibly tough task. But every child, as Nigel says, every child deserves a proper education. U105. Right, we're talking about children being suspended from schools. Over 4,000 suspended in a 1-year period. Now, why are they being suspended? Well, for some of the obvious reasons, including substance abuse, attacking staff, physically attacking staff in the school. There are also examples, quite a few examples, most of them are suspended for attacking other pupils in the school. More boys than girls are suspended, and you're more likely to be suspended during years 8 to 10. Basically, that is from first year to, third year at the second level. That's the time when they really seem to lose the run of themselves. I want to speak to one of the teaching union representatives who's available for a chat with us, Carney Cumper from the Ulster Teachers Union. Carney, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Now, I've had a parent on already this morning saying that his child was suspended from school. The child had autism. The school just couldn't cope and they kept suspending him. Are some children being suspended who have special needs?
Well, now with so many children with so many complex needs, there's the whole gamut of needs out there. And so there will be some children with special needs who are maybe in the wrong settings. So many of them are in mainstream settings that yes, you know, once the behaviour becomes so bad or so consistent in the wrong setting, then the only recourse would be for suspension.
So as the president of the Ulster Teachers Union and as a vice principal yourself, you will know the dilemma that individual teachers would be facing and the dilemma indeed that a school would be facing if there is a particular child in a classroom who has a special need, who hasn't got the one-to-one guidance from a teaching assistant and who's causing disruption. That child deserves an education, but do you have to balance it against the other 24 children in the class also deserving an uninterrupted education?
That's it entirely. I mean, schools will use suspension as virtually a last resort. You know, all teachers and principals in particular out there will use every measure they can to continue to work with the child, to give them every resource that they can in order to make sure that their education is as good as it can be. But there are other children in the class who are being totally disrupted. Their education's being disrupted, the behaviour's affecting them, even their mental state can be affected by one pupil in the class. So you always have to balance that and make the best decision for the situation as a whole.
So many children are being diagnosed now with some form of challenge that in the future you almost get the picture of maybe five or six different classroom assistants for five or six different children being in there. I don't want to be flippant in any way, but you could have a cluttered classroom.
Oh, very easily. You could. Now, what normally would happen is, you know, there's only maybe so many hours allocated for each child. So a classroom assistant could maybe be there and responsible for two children, but would maybe then be there the whole day, which is much more ideal, because obviously if a classroom assistant is only there for 2 hours a day, they're with that child for those 2 hours, but there's 3 or 4 hours the rest of the day when the child doesn't have support. However, if that adult is in the room for the whole day looking after two or three children throughout that, you know, it's much more relevant for the child.
It must be very challenging for a teacher when he or she doesn't have the backup from the classroom assistant for a troublesome, for a challenging child, for maybe a child who isn't even aware that he or she is being troublesome. The pressure facing a teacher who has to teach 24 other children who have challenges of their own by being kids, it must get beyond breaking point.
Absolutely. You know, teachers are increasingly seeing more children with complex challenges. The support is not there for them. And now in this day and age with the unprecedented cuts, often classroom assistants are the first to go. And it's therefore the most vulnerable children who are being hit the hardest. And it's impacting on everyone within the educational setting. And the teacher is faced with, you know, a huge dilemma of who to support at first, and also, you know, whenever you're going to statement a child, the process is so very long that even to get to that stage takes years. So, you know, I teach P1, and as a teacher in the foundation stage, it's increasingly frustrating to have to just start the process at that stage, but not see an end result for years and years.
Just one final question in relation to children who are facing challenges, and that's the reason why they are disruptive. Who's responsible for bringing in the classroom assistant? It's obviously not the teacher. Is it down to the head teacher, or is it down to the education authority?
Well, inevitably, it would be the educational authority. What normally happens is the process is started from the teacher going to the principal, possibly the principal at some stage referring. You're only allowed to make so many referrals in a time space. So really, it's the child with the greatest need who is seen first. But there could be many, many, many children in a school setting who need to be seen, who just can't be put on the list because there are no resources for it. So, you know, once you go through that long process, you may get a classroom assistant, but it just means that the children in foundation stage are not at that stage, so the classroom assistants are rarely there for them.
So no surprise then that they're going to suspend the other kids, the ones who are sniffing glue or using drugs or who are beating up teachers or who are attacking their schoolmates. There's no excuse for violence in a classroom environment. You wouldn't get away with it at work, so why should you get away with it at school?
Absolutely, but as I said, suspension is the last resort, and in most cases it has to be a series of incidents before there's a suspension or something so extreme that it is the only way to go.
But 4,000, if you've already suspended 4,000, how mad is it in the schools across Northern Ireland if they're not getting suspended more or less straight away?
It certainly is increasingly challenging for all teachers out there. The whole remit is difficult, and to have children with so many complex difficulties and facing the challenges from the moment they walk into P1, it is really hard work out there.
Carney, it's a reminder just of how challenging it is and how worried parents are, of course, who understandably only see their child. I did it myself. I had a girl going through school for 14 years and I only ever saw my child. And, sometimes you have to think of it from the teachers and the head teacher's perspective as well. Carney Comper, the UTU President, Vice Principal as well at Killaloe Integrated. Carney, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Good morning. If you're just joining us, you are very welcome. Going to whiz back in time here, I think, because Joan has a point that she wants to make, and maybe we could learn from the past. I think that's the gist of what Joan is going to tell us. Morning, Joan.
Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, are you taking us back in time?
I am, Frank. I understand the challenges that the teachers and pupils have today, and it's very hard for them all, but I went to school in the 60s and 70s. I was I went to primary school and secondary school. I had a family of seven brothers and sisters. I have a severely disabled sister who is thalidomide, and she was they tried to put her into a special needs school, and my father wouldn't allow it. He fought for a long time and wanted her to go to a mainstream school. Now, she did do that, and the school was excellent. The school were very, very good with her. They were very good to us, and they used to let all of us take turns at getting out of class a few minutes early to go and wait outside her classroom so we could carry her up the stairs to her next class, because it was every 35 minutes of the new period of teaching. And they were very accommodating. We had no problems at all. The school were fantastic with us,
Yes, but your sister wasn't going to cause a problem in the classroom. She may have had a disability, but she wasn't going to be disruptive. So therefore, it was very smooth.
She could be quite feisty. She wasn't an angel,
But every child can be quite feisty.
Yeah, but she could at times she could be problematic. She was cheeky. She was a typical, she was as disruptive as some other children were. I'm not saying she would have completely disrupted, but she disrupted the class in that she had special needs, and there was allowances made for her in that, she was let out early. She had to, be carried up to her classroom because she had artificial legs, things like that. So just, they were just very accommodating, they were excellent with her.
Do you think in this day and age that schools should always be accommodating, regardless of how many challenging children they have or how many children they have from a variety of backgrounds, or indeed how many children they have in the classroom, that every individual deserves the same attention, the same developmental opportunities, regardless of how disruptive they are?
It's very difficult to say, Frank. I think every child deserves an education. But, there are children who are very disruptive. And as you said earlier, that's very unfair on the rest of the pupils. And their learning ability is that their patience, their concentration, everything is changed because of that child in the classroom. But it's just so sad that the child in the classroom, because of maybe a severe learning difficulty, has to suffer because they're not responsible for it. They're not actually responsible for the way they are. They have disabilities and they have special needs, and they do deserve an education.
I don't
know what the answer is. I just don't know what the answer is, because there's points on both sides which need to be which you know, it's difficult to address.
That is very, very true. There's no arguing with that if you're seeing it from the perspective of a parent, or indeed if you're the teacher caught in the firing line of all that is going on.